This morning, I got a little bag here. I thought, you know, I'm disappointed that Dwight's not here. I'm a grandpa now, so I've got a grandpa's basement, eh? Anyway, it is good to be able to be here this morning, and I want to talk about something that is dear to my heart, and I want to talk about a spiritual practice that I do, and I think I introduced this last year, and I also want to do it again this year. I just think it's a good time of the year to do it. But I want to talk a little bit about spiritual practices. You all have practices that you do. The difference between a spiritual practice and a regular practice is just simply that it is directed more towards the Lord. So in the morning you get up and some of you eat breakfast in the morning. You have a regular routine. Some of you make your beds. Who made their bed this morning? Ooh, yeah. Listen, I normally don't. I normally do. I actually enjoy the process of making my bed and just that. Raina will come in and she'll help me, which is fine. I don't mind that. But I also like just to do it on my own and just that rhythm of making my bed. It's a practice that I do. I didn't do it when I was a kid. No way. That bed only got made when the sheets got done. That's it. Otherwise, it was just why make it? You're just going to mess it up again, right? That was my reasoning. Anyway, there are practices that we do. Some of you have the practice of having a cup of coffee every day, right? Yeah. Yeah. And I'm disappointed. I made my coffee this morning and I left it at home. I know where it's sitting. So, but I did get a cup of coffee. That's good. So there are a lot of practices that we do, all of us do, on a regular basis. And a spiritual practice is simply focused on doing something on a regular basis that will draw us near to God. It's not magic. It's not even a law. It's just simply what I do, because what I do, I desire to become like Jesus. And so this aspect of a word for the year, we're going to talk about what it's all about and what it can mean to us. And also some of the dangers that come with having a word for the year. So hopefully I can put that all together for us and lead us in that this morning. So words are actually very important to us. We live by a lot of words. Remember, maybe when you were a kid, there was that saying that maybe even somebody told you, sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. And is that true? No, it's not. Sticks and stones break your bones, and names damage us a lot in our lives. And there are some words that we live by that we actually didn't choose to live by them. We didn't choose these words. These words are chosen for us. So things that we say like hurry, hurry up, hurry up. I don't know if that was ever said to you or not. Sometimes, though, the world will tell us that we're not enough. And we will live by that word, you're not enough. Or we live by the word fear, and we are full of fear. Or prove it. Prove it. Maybe you have to prove yourself or prove something. And some words just like survive. I'm just living to survive. These words will whisper to us when we wake up. They'll narrate our decisions. They shape our habits. They quietly disciple us. It's true. They will. They will disciple us. There are a lot of words. You need to be better or thinner. And so we've got a lot of words out there that will shape us and deliver to us what we should be or shouldn't be. But Jesus, however, often just speaks these one words or two words. And these words that he shares with us are just these calls, things like come or follow me, or just follow. My slide's going to get mixed up here. I don't want it to be too much of a distraction. Ooh, look at that. He'll say, abide. Just come and abide. Or, fear not. Come rest. These words that he has for us, that we read in Scripture. And so, today we are not choosing a theme for the year. This isn't a theme that you're choosing. This is where you're just listening for a word. It becomes a rule of life. And a rule of life, again, is not that it's a law, but it's just the way that we choose to live. We, again, all have a rule of, we live by rules of life. The way that we drive is a way, a rule of life. These simple things like that. Some of you have a rule of life that you will never eat Brussels sprouts. What's wrong with Brussels sprouts? But we have this way of living. A rule of life is just simply a way that we choose to live our life. And it directs us and it guides us in how we live. This word that we would have would train our attention. And so maybe the word that we would have is something like patience. Yes! Preach it! And patience, and it will direct how we live our life, how we will choose to drive in the slow lane instead of the fast lane. A word the Spirit uses to reshape us and form us from the inside out. So love. Maybe a word would be, your word would be love. And it reshapes how I see other people. It reshapes me to receive the love, to give the love. A word that God uses to renovate my character. See, I come back to patience, and I've said this before, you know, many times when people say, well, be careful what you pray for. And we pray for patience, and it seems like we have a lot of things that happen to us that is testing our patience. And I say to all of us, is it maybe what it is God just wants you to understand that what you're trying to do, you're trying to do on your own. Like, his patience is enough. And his patience isn't a trial. It is a blessing. It is a freedom that comes. My patience is a trial. To try to be patient with people. We understand that when it comes to love. Like, can I really love the way I need to love? I love because of the love that God gives me. I want to live out of that love. So it begins to renovate my character. So my character is like his character. So let me share with you four movements, and I won't keep us here long today, but here's the first, is that a word can help transformation begins with desire. And so when I look and I'm seeking just one thing, God, one thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David is here and he's seeking God and he's saying, God, I'm looking for this one thing, one thing. What I like about this is that David isn't asking for outcomes. He's asking for an orientation. He's asking, I just want to be in your presence, God. I just want to be in your presence. Just one thing. This isn't about minimalizing for the sake of minimalizing. This is about a spiritual focus. This is where transformation happens. When I can come in this area of my life and say, God, I want to be transformed by you in this area of my life. This one thing. I think that a word for the year is not about ambition. It is a desire for clarification. And it will ask some questions. And I think these are just a couple simple questions that we ask. What do you actually want this year? What do you want this year? Not what do you want to accomplish, but what do you want to become? Like, who is it that you want to become? And I can say I want to become a kinder person. I want to become a more joyous person. I want to become a more loving person. And I'm going to accomplish that because of what God does in and through me. So this isn't about a New Year's resolution. This isn't about trying to have willpower to accomplish this. This is about what God wants to do in your life so you become the person that he created you to become. Because he's got something for you to do. He's got a light for you to shine. He has salt for you to spread to make that food pop. You know, all of us, maybe even this Christmas time, you put a bite in your mouth and you got, it's just missing that. It's missing some salt. And you take the salt shaker and you shake it on there and you take another bite and you go, aha, that is it. The person we become is the person God created us to be. And as we become that person, we are like taking salt and putting salt in a person's life and they go, aha. Because he is the salt of the world. He is the light of the world. And he's chosen you and I to be the salt and the light. And so David, he says, there's just one thing I want to do. I just want to focus on being in the presence of God. That's what I want. Just to be in the presence of God. I think a God-given word doesn't pressure you. It draws you. It draws you to Jesus. Here's the second thing I think that a word can do for us. It guides us through attentive listening. When you look in 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel is sleeping and the Lord comes to him and he calls out his name and Samuel thinks it's Eli. So he runs to Eli the priest and he says, what do you want? Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. He goes back to bed. Again, God calls him and he goes back to Eli and he says, Eli, what do you want? And Eli says, it wasn't me. And Eli now comes to the understanding that, oh, it's God. And so he tells him, he says, when God calls you again, he says, just say to him, speak, your servant is listening. I think what wonderful and simple words. And so God comes and the Lord comes and he stood there and he called as he did the other times. He says, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, your servant is listening. And I think that a word for the year can just cause us to slow down so that we can be like Samuel and just say, God, speak, your servant is listening. Many times in our prayer life is about what I'm coming to him for what I need, which he says, come to me, share your prayers with me, make your requests before the Lord. He asks, he says, ask and seek, and I will give. But there's something about just simply listening and being in his presence that transforms us. And so by having a word, I simply can be listening to him. So Samuel doesn't begin with clarity. He begins with availability. So he doesn't say, God, what do you want? God, what are you saying? He just simply says, God, here I am. I'm listening. And a word of the year, I believe it helps not to discover through brainstorming, it's discerning through attentiveness. I've got some booklets out there that will help you walk through the process of creating a word for the year. And it isn't about brainstorming and putting a bunch of words down and say, well, which one do I like? It's really simply about discerning what God is wanting to do. He has a plan for you. Remember Jeremiah 29:11? Anybody? Anyone? What does it say? Okay, yeah. If you haven't memorized that, memorize it. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not for bad. He wants to lead us. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for you. And so discernment and formation happens when we slow down enough to notice. And so when I'm looking for God to show me what word that he would lead me through in the year, I'm looking at scripture that keeps resurfacing. A word that comforts or confronts at the same time. What invitation keeps returning? So what I do is, because I'm a little beaver, these are going to fall down. So they're only going to stay up just a little bit because as soon as I touch here. So I do my words and then I carve them and then I can look at them throughout the year. There we go. Whew. Okay. So this is with, see? And this is heart. No, seek? Heart. Okay, all right. There we go. This is actually Raina's word that she had some years ago. Heart was my word that I had this last year. And I was reading, and I was reading about David. And I was reading about David, a man after God's own heart. And it just wouldn't, as I was reading the story, I was beginning to ponder about David, it just wouldn't leave me. And I thought, what does it mean to be a man after God's own heart? Like, that just couldn't be for David. Like, could that not be for me? Could I not be a man after God's own heart? I want to be a man after God's own heart. And so that was my word this last year, a man after God's own heart, a heart. And I just explored that, and I at times in my devotional, I dug in and I started looking at what heart was all about and where we read the word heart in the Bible and how heart is used. And as I dug into that, it just really began to speak to my heart. and so because I started off and it just kept coming back to me is where God took me. And so this year, as I am pondering that, I'm kind of between learn and wisdom. They're kind of both the same, but I'm kind of torn between the two, and I don't really know, but I'm just kind of seeking God at this point in time. So let me go to this here. What else does a word do? God's word is a lamp, not a spotlight. And we read in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path. We live today with flashlights that will light up the world. We can have flashlights that will do 2 million lumens. Like that is just in your face bright. Back here in the day, they just had a candle. And if you had a candle, it's only going to light what? This is going to light a little bit. This is going to light up just your next step is all that it is. And David says, I'm looking for your word, God, your word to light my path. And in that, there is a trust that as I make the next step, that it's going to illumine my next step. And it's a faith and trust. And I don't need a 5-year plan. I just need today. Today is the day that the Lord has given. Give us today our daily bread. I like plans. I am a planner. I come from a family who plans. If I ask my dad what his plans are in the next 5 years, he will tell me what his plans are for the next 5 years. And planning is good, but really, I'm only given today. You're only given today. That is it. So the word, it says here, is not a floodlight, but it's just for the next step. If your word for the year doesn't answer every question, it simply keeps you facing in the right direction. That's what it does. It just keeps you facing in the right direction. And I think about transformation. It rarely comes through sudden insight. It's always this repeated obedience to a small, faithful word. So think for a moment. If your word is abide, if you had the word of abide, you'd notice when you were striving. Abiding is not striving. Abiding is resting. If you had the word trust, you may notice that when you are tightening your control, if you are to trust God with all your heart and lean on your own understanding, it isn't about your control, it's about Him controlling. And so when you are feeling like anxious about a situation, it's more likely our anxiety comes because we feel like the situation is out of our control, and we need to trust. So if you had the word trust, then when you're feeling that, you can come and you can go, okay, God, I am not trusting you. Maybe love. And through that, you notice who you avoid. I was struck this week as we were traveling and we were listening to some messages. You know, we've had these guys that have lived in our parking lot in their vehicles, and Adam and Early. Adam sent me a text while I was away, and he says, "Hey, Scott, what do you think?" He says, "I'm thinking about buying this new house, and this is this fancy motorhome. I don't have any idea how the guy's going to afford it, but he's showing me this motorhome that he wants to buy." And I'm thinking, wow. Early, before I left, he stopped by and Early said to me, "Hey, can you help me make another bed for my van? Because I want to change it up." And I said, sure. And I was challenged as I was listening to this message of how I was actually seeing these guys. Because I think I'm seeing them to try to fix them. And I was struck by the fact that I'm not seeing them to love them as they are, but I'm seeing them to fix them. And that's not love. And I think that's what something like a word love can do for us. It can cause us to slow down and say, how am I living my life in His love and loving other people? All right. Oop, there. Let me just quickly go through these here because I think these are worthy of us just looking at because I do think there's some danger in this. You can choose, by having a word for the year, it can turn into a personalized prosperity gospel. For instance, if you have the word abundance, okay, God's given me the word abundance, and you believe then that you're going to just be abundant, you're going to have an abundant amount of resources. That's not what this is all about. This word should be focused on our character. So something like faithfulness and trust and courage and surrender and presence is probably much better for us. It can reduce spiritual formation to a trendy self-improvement. You know, we could look at this and go, well, this is all about self-improvement. I'm gonna pick something that kind of will set your attention, or it will cause to inspire you, but it needs to be anchored in Christ. A word of the year is a long obedience in the same direction. That's what Eugene Peterson said. It is not an motivational slogan. It is spiritual apprenticeship. A third, it can eclipse the full counsel of Scripture. I can't just live by timbits. As much as I like timbits, I cannot live on timbits alone. And so I can't just live on one word. I need the full counsel of Scripture. It is just something I come back to and I engage with from time to time in my life. A word of the year. So it can't just be, okay, I'm going to live by this word. No, I got to live by the word, the entire word of God. Here's another one. It can create spiritual pressure or anxiety. Oh, I've got to get this right. Or if your word is joy and you go, oh, I failed again. I'm not very joyful. That should not be the case. It shouldn't create this anxiety in our life or pressure in our life. It is simply a gentle option for us to follow. It's not a command. God isn't wanting us to perform. He just wants to guide us. The fifth is this, it can encourage hyper-individualism. So it can only be about your word. Look at what God's given me. But God has done something greater and more for us, and that is what it needs to be in community. And so I encourage you that if God gives you a word for the year, that he directs you, that you have a word, share it with somebody. And travel in community. If you're part of a small group, I would encourage you to share together what that word may be and encourage one another. I love it when somebody else has a word that is my word and we talk about what that looks like. So what is God doing with you? How is he showing you how to abide in him? Because that's my word, is abide. What is he showing you? And do it in community. Don't do it just as an individual. Sixth is this, it may disconnect people from a slow, patient work. A single word may feel like a shortcut for transformation. It cannot be. Let the word become a year-long companion, not an instant catalyst. And seventh is that it risks becoming a substitute for listening to the Spirit throughout the year. My daily practice is to sit quietly before the Lord every morning and say, God, here I am. Thank you for waking me up today, inviting me to be part of your day. I'm just in your presence right now. So as I said, I have these booklets in the back that you can take and walk through this. But just quickly, let me share these steps. First is you got to pray and ask for wisdom. It is what God is doing. It isn't just what I'm doing and I'm going to invite God to be part of what I'm doing. I'm looking to hear God invite me to be part of what he's doing. As Samuel did, speak God, I am listening. Second is this, listen with Scripture. So take passages and pray through passages and listen with Scripture. I like to always have a Scripture that is connected to a word that I have. That is there. Third is this, notice what stays, not what excites, but what returns. So what just keeps returning to you again? What just keeps coming back to you in your heart and your mind in Scripture? And then test the word. Does this word lead me towards love? Does it align with Scripture? Does it invite surrender, not ego? Just simple things that you would look at with a word of the year. And then I think what I would end by saying this, a word that walks with you, a word for the year is not a slogan for a mug. It is a teacher who walks beside you throughout the year. And these words that I have had, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first his kingdom. And so that has been what I have been able to do. And I invite us to do that as a church because the goal and the idea of what we're doing is to be transformed, to be with him, to be like him, so that we can do what Jesus did. That's the goal of what we want to do. Because I believe this. I believe that if we seek him to be in his presence, and we become like him, then our community, the people around us, they see, they hear, and they follow. You and I, for whatever reason, God chose you and I to be his light in this world. And our world needs his light. Lord Jesus, today as we have looked at what it would mean for you to lead us in our lives through a word for the year. Father, that we would not get caught up in fearing of not having the right word or treating it as if it is a quick fix or something extraordinary from who you are and what you've told us. Simply, Lord, that we could have a practice of something throughout the year that we could draw our attention back to, God. It would lead us to a place of being transformed into your likeness for the sake of others. Lord, I thank you for the work you have been doing in us as a church. And Lord, we cry out that you don't stop. Lord, we pray that we would have the burden, your burden for the lost. Lord, we would look around and see that there's a community of hurting people and that you are the answer for that. Lord, I pray that you would help us this coming year Lord, you would help us to be a church that is so transformed that people are hungering and thirsting, desiring to have what we have. Because, Lord, it's not us, it's you. Father, I pray for healing. I pray for the brokenness. I pray that you would do a work in us. Because our community, our country, our world needs you. And we see where it's going without you. And God, save us from wanting this change so that we could live a more comfortable life. Lord, break us that we would want change so because, Lord, you are the hope of the world. You are the light of the world. So God, we've asked that you come and heal us. Amen.